All right, friends, I hope everyone's doing well today. I know everybody starts school different. Maybe we should have like a, should we have, raise your hand and tell me what you think about this, a national back to school day. Like everyone starts, this is the day we go back to school. And why is it so boinky everywhere? Everyone, it's so different everywhere. Anyway, I don't know why it bothers me, but it does. Okay, friends, it's time to shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, I am so excited to chat with Jessica Cuss, who works for the National Down Syndrome Society. She works to develop educational resources and programming for people with Down syndrome. So with back to school happening right now, timing could not be better. We're going to chat all about it today. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. All right, friends, I know that you have seen in the past pictures of our loved one with Down syndrome on the jumbo screens in Times Square. And maybe you know what that's about and maybe you don't, but let me tell you a little bit more. The National Down Syndrome Society, NDSS, is leading human rights organizations for all individuals with Down syndrome. Have you heard of the Buddy Walk program? I know I have. It's one of the very first things we did in our community when Macy was born. More than 130 buddy walks were held in 2021. That's so amazing. The annual NYC Buddy Walk, which is the flagship walk for the National Buddy Walk Program, is quickly approaching. Join NDSS for the 2022 Times Square Video and New York City Buddy Walk on September 17th. That's September 17th, friend. It's right around the corner. You can also choose the walk at home option and celebrate from any location. Every year, NDSS reminds the world in a big way about the value that people with Down syndrome bring to their communities through a special video presentation on a jumbo screen in the heart of Times Square. It is so good. The presentation kicks off the NYC Buddy Walk and is streamed live on Facebook across the country. Then you're gonna head to Central Park on buses for the NYC Buddy Walk. It's gonna be the best day of your life. Don't miss it. Learn more and register today at www.ndss.org. We are in school. As I record this, is our first Friday of the school year. When this comes out, we will have been back in school for a week. So we're doing it here in Southern California, where I live. It is 100 degrees today. So bless all those sweet children at school when it's 100 degrees. So let's get into this episode. But before we do, I'm going to read a review from one of you amazing listeners. This is from Danny G45678, who says, as a new mom to the Lucky Few, I've already been blessed by the wisdom these women bring to our community. They discuss a wide variety of topics, and they have helped me to begin thinking about the questions that I will come to address at some point in my child's life, which I appreciate. Danny, thank you so much for that review. We really appreciate it. We're so grateful to know that the podcast has been a good resource for you. This episode's going to be great today. Don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, and then maybe we'll read it aloud next week. We love and appreciate your support so much. And each review helps bump the podcast up in like the ways that people search for a podcast, and it helps to get more listeners. And we appreciate that very much. Okay, friends, so before I jump into this interview, I want to share with you some very exciting news. For the next couple of months, we are going to be working with, drumroll, Josh, the National Down Syndrome Society, to bring you all relevant and practical topics from our experts. We're so excited. We've been talking with them for the last few months behind the scenes, trying to figure out how we can best collaborate. The National Down Syndrome Society is just staffed and has a volunteer base of some of the most brilliant minds around Down syndrome and brilliant minds with Down syndrome in our nation today. So we are so excited to get to partner with them. And today we are going to be chatting about education, but also in the coming episodes, we'll be getting into legislation, adult sibling relationships, self-advocacy, and so much more. We're getting all this information from experts in the field. We're so grateful for their willingness to share so much of their wisdom. Okay, let's get started on today's episode. I am here with Jessica Cuss. She is the Senior Manager of Education Programs at NDSS, who oversees NDSS's community-focused education programs and develops high-quality supports and resources for educational communities. She is a former special education teacher with lots of knowledge to share. This conversation is a good one, friend. You might want to sit down with a notepad or listen to it a second time and take notes while you listen. All right, Jess, I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Let me tell our listeners. So Jess and I met last October of 2021, right? At a Lucky Mama's retreat. Yeah. And it was so fun. It was a really good weekend. We were in this gorgeous house and we had a good time. So today I was so grateful to get to see your beautiful face pop up on my computer.
Well, so
good.
You.
So good to be together. Okay. Jess, will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're at? Your family, your work for NDSS. You can just give us as much information as you want and then we can build from there.
Sounds good. So I live in Alexandria, Virginia. I have two children. I have an 11-year-old daughter, Haley, and an 8-year-old son, Bradley. Bradley happens to have Down syndrome. Before having children, I was actually a special education teacher. I went into the field because my mom's best friend growing up had a daughter my age with Down syndrome. And so I kind of grew up knowing what Down syndrome was. And she really inspired me to become a special education teacher. I stopped teaching after I had my oldest to be a stay-at-home mom for a little bit. And then after Bradley was born, kind of took a little bit of a shift and decided maybe back in the classroom wasn't exactly where I wanted to be, since he had the Down syndrome diagnosis and I would be doing that, you know, kind of 24/7 at home. So I stayed home until about 2017. And then I had this great opportunity to come work for NDSS. I started part-time in various different roles and then really missed my time in education and working with families and helping teachers and the IEP process. So I switched into this role full-time in November of 2021 as our Senior Manager of Education Programs. And I'm really enjoying being more community-facing and helping parents and families through the IEP process and really working with teachers and school systems on inclusive practices and how to best educate individuals with Down.
Okay, very cool. Tell me a little bit more about how you got in with NDSS. Like you said, this opportunity arose. How did you find this? How'd they find you?
So one of my local friends from our local Down syndrome association, Michelle Ray, we had met through like a picnic or something. Her son was several years older and we just really kind of hit it off on a personal level. And she had all of these grand ideas for creating charity racing programs and athlete ambassador programs for the National Down Syndrome Society. And she and I had, we both were runners and connected through fitness and things like that. And so she started our virtual event on World Down Syndrome Day, Racing for 3-2-1, where we encourage everybody on World Down Syndrome Day to move for 3.21 miles. And as that program grew, she needed some support. And so she talked with the leadership team at the time and said, hey, I know this person who would be great to come on and help me at NDSS. And so that's where I got started. So I wasn't even involved in education when I first came on. It was, and it was great. I got to go run in Disney World as a charity partner and meet a ton of community members across the country who came to support us in various races that we were a part of. And then I just never left. I really enjoyed my time and started doing some more work in the education programming. Before I went on full time, I was kind of dabbling in both. I was doing the health and fitness stuff and the charity racing in addition to kind of helping out in the education space. And so I decided that now that my kids were a little bit older and in school full time, that I could take on a little bit more and move into a full time role, doing more of what I love and where my background is, which is special education.
Yes, it's so good. Do you know that I was a special education teacher too? We talked about this.
I don't know.
That I went from like a similar thing where I was a full-time special education teacher, had kids, decided to stay home. And then it was like, well, I could go back to work, but what am I going to do for work? And it, and thinking maybe I go back to education, but that's not where my path led me. So this role that you have now, you said you got it, the Senior Manager of Education Programs. You started that in November of last year, right? Yeah. Okay. So this is a little bit new. Can you tell me more like a day in the life of that job, which maybe changes every day, but you say it's more community facing. Tell me more about what you do.
Yeah, no, it does change day to day, and depending on the time of year and whether or not it's school year season or summertime, you know, what my day to day looks like kind of varies. I handle like our education info box, which we get emails and calls from parents, from teachers, from siblings, you know, just kind of asking questions, or they're struggling with their IEP process. And while I don't sit in on IEP meetings, there would just be too many and one person can't do all of that. I do help listen to families, provide as much advice and background information as I can from my areas of expertise. And then what we really do at NDSS is refer our families back to those local groups, our affiliates. So, you know, you're in California. So I would find the local Down syndrome organization there who may have some more touch points within a specific school district or an advocate or someone in that area that would be more familiar with, you know, California regulations and laws and school districts, and who would be a great advocate or someone that you could reach out to. I also work, I do some speaking engagements with COVID. That was kind of put on hold and a lot of things turned virtual or just kind of stopped altogether. But our inclusive education guidelines that we released last December is a fabulous resource. And so I have spoken to different affiliate groups and at educator conferences that they have, as well as the Down Syndrome Affiliates in Action conference last February, where local affiliates all gather together, and I gave a presentation on how they can get these guidelines out into the community. I also work with our policy team on education-related policy, more just giving my input on education and not really going to the Hill and lobbying myself. That is not my area of expertise, but we have fabulous members on our team that are wonderful at doing that. And really just kind of listening to the community and hearing what types of resources they might need, how I can be supportive, what are they missing, and how we can get them the tools and the things that they need to be successful in school.
Okay, so let's talk about this educational guideline, because it just came out, like you said, last December. So recently the NDSS worked with the Down Syndrome Educational International to establish this guideline, and it's for people with Down syndrome. So tell us more about the process. And then I know that a lot of our listeners, this episode, we're recording it in August. It's going to come out next week. And so we have a lot of people going back to school. I know the guidelines are all about inclusive education for our loved ones who have Down syndrome. The tool is gold. It's just pure gold for an educator, for a parent. Tell us more, the listeners and I more about that process. Like, how do you even begin to create something like this?
So I came in kind of towards the tail end. A lot of it was a years long process. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Sue Buckley, who is
amazing. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yes. And I want Sue Buckley, we want you on the podcast so bad, and we're going to find you and hunt you down. Jess is going to give me your number.
Yes. Sue is fabulous. So if you're not familiar with Sue, she is a psychologist from the UK. She has devoted like her entire life's research to studying the learning profile of individuals with Down syndrome. She had a daughter with Down syndrome who really inspired this work. And so a mom in the community heard her speak at a conference, and she spoke about these guidelines that they had in the UK that came out in 2012. And this mom was like, why do we not have one in the US? And so she went up to Sue after the conference and was like, how can we do this? Mm-hmm. And then she reached out to NDSS. I was not involved in that at that point, at least in the education space, and said, hey, like, could you and myself and Sue collaborate together to get these guidelines in a US version? So that's kind of where it all started. And that was really back, I think, in like 2016, 2017. So it was really, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Sue, the document's broken into three sections, and section two is really like hones in on the learning profile and what things work for individuals with Down syndrome, and kind of like how, you know, visual learning is a strength of our kids and things like that. And so the bulk of that section is Sue's research, which is that pure gold, right? Like, mm-hmm, so not right. much of that changed from the UK version to our version. Just the way that they do school over there is a little bit different. And, you know, they actually have some more strict and detailed laws on inclusion that we don't have, where our laws are a little bit more left to interpretation as far as IDEA is concerned, and not even just state by state, but district by district, and then school by school within each district.
Yeah, I was a part of an organization, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast here, called Club 21 in Southern California. And that's where I first learned about Sue, because it was, they're just honed in, Club 21 is, on education. And when Macy was little, this idea of a Down syndrome learning profile.
Yeah.
And then learning that myself, which is so helpful. And then bringing that to the educators, where it's like, with reading, phonics, it's like, the phonics are not going to work for her, because she actually has a way in which she learns because she has Down syndrome. Here, let me show you what Sue says, right? Like, let me show you these things that have been studied and looked at and proven to be true. So this, again, this educational guideline is total gold. So let's talk about it. Let's dig a little deeper into it. And can you summarize like some of the main key points?
Yeah. So it really addresses like the education settings and the supports that students with Down syndrome need. And it really starts from that early intervention point through secondary school. We hope to, in the future, dive more deeply into post-secondary programs, but the document is already very large and robust. And so we wanted to get it out as soon as possible, since it was, you know, it took so long to do. So the primary focus of it is K-12 students with early intervention. There is a section on that in the beginning. It has a robust list of resources at the back. At the end of it, I think the resource section is almost as long as the document itself. But we really tried hard to vet those resources and make sure that we gave quality resources and links and professionals who have done this research, done this work. The first section is really just kind of an overview of what IDEA says, and maybe how it could be better. You know, should it be opened and reauthorized, which we do not anticipate happening anytime soon. But so that's more of.
Can I interrupt you? So yeah. You're saying, should it be? You don't think it will be? Do you want it to be? Like,
it depends. Speak,
okay, I don't think you can speak on it in terms of like even as NDSS. Like, is this something that people want to see open and
I think you hear both sides evaluated. Of it. And so it's one of those things that, could it get worse? Could it get better? Like,
sure.
You don't really know. But I think, you know, as far as I'm concerned as a parent, and I think as a national organization, there's always room to improve in education. And I think there's ways to make, you know, certain things in IDEA a bit more clear and concrete, and not so, you know, left to interpretation. And so just really highlights those opportunities to increase and improve the inclusive education supports for people with Down syndrome. And then the specific learning profile includes like all of the strengths, the challenges, types of interventions, supports, requirements to meet those needs. And then the section three, the last section, describes like those principles and practices that educators can use to support individuals across settings and age groups. So it then is broken down into like, okay, here's elementary school, middle school, high school kind of things. And there are checklists, which are invaluable, that can kind of say, hey, like, are you doing this in your school? Mm. You know, and NDSS has a stance that everyone is entitled to inclusion. We know that every family is different and every parent knows their child best, but simply because of a diagnosis on paper, it shouldn't be assumed that your child is, you know, going to that classroom down the hall or in a trailer or being self-contained mm-hmm. simply because they have Down syndrome without trying these other, you know, strategies, methods, you know, modifications, accommodations. And I think a lot of it has to do with not necessarily teachers that don't want to, but they don't have the resources and the support. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're really hoping now in this next phase of the document, now that it's released, is I really want to create some more targeted teacher trainings from it, where schools, teachers, districts, whether it's something just online that they can watch for 15 minutes and get some snippets of, hey, I can try this in my classroom, or more in depth, like, you know, do you want to have someone come and do, you know, a half day training at your school on best practices or how to modify and accommodate work that could benefit all students, not just right. those students with IEPs or even Down syndrome in your classroom. Everybody learns differently. And I think that shift in mindset for a lot of our educators is what's needed to really see that you're really helping the class as a whole mm-hmm. And not just that one student, because you really might be showing another student a different way of learning or seeing things in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. So as a parent listening, and I know educators listen, I know a lot of my kids educators listen to this podcast. You're hearing it. You are going to pull up the link. And then what do you do? Like, how do we implement these as like parents and educators on the ground?
Yeah. And so it is a big document. And so I do not recommend like printing it and like just slapping it on the table at an IEP meeting, because that's overwhelming, intimidating, and everything. There is a great graphic that we in it that summarizes the learning profile. And that is kind of where I start. We have it also in like a separate, like outside of the guidelines document, like a separate JPEG or PDF that you can look at. But it really just gives this higher overview of kind of what the Down syndrome learning profile looks like, right? Like visual learner, delays in visual processing, you know, gross motor delays, the low muscle tone, that affects everything. I think a lot of times that gets confused into just being like, oh, well, it's gross motor, right? No, low muscle tone affects everything. That's speech, that's writing, because you have to have your feet on the ground, you're sitting straight with your core, then you have to balance your hand on the, like all of those things that we kind of take for granted. So this little snippet of a graphic is fabulous. And actually last spring at my son's IEP meeting, what I did was I took in a copy of the graphic and like three or four pages of the guidelines that dealt with elementary school. So Bradley will be starting second grade. He and August are the same age, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, so I just took in those things as to not overwhelm them. Like, hey, for elementary level and for this year, these are some things that might be helpful for you. And here are a few resources. So I am working right now to break the guidelines down to do that for families. So you don't have to like go through and be like, okay, well, what pages cool. are this? Yeah. What pages are that? So I'm creating kind of like 1-2 pagers and like another checklist that then hopefully will be out in the next couple months, like by early fall. I'm working really hard to get them done. I wanted them to be done before the beginning of school, but it just didn't happen. However, I think that will be then a really good way to direct teachers, families to say, hey, this is what you can do if you have a middle schooler. Here are some of those great nuggets of information, so you're not overwhelming the teacher or the IEP team, and start there. The graphic of the learning profile, our principal at my son's school had a fabulous idea. He's like, why don't you email this to me? I'll email it to the whole staff and then I'll print it and put it up in the faculty lounge. And I was like, that's
smart.
It's a genius idea, right? Because all teachers, all staff walk in and out of there. You're heating up your lunch in the microwave, you're chit-chatting or whatever. And, you know, maybe the librarian is looking at it and is like, oh, maybe I should move Bradley to to this section when I'm doing a story because he seems to not be paying attention, but maybe it's because he's too distracted with all the colors and the books and everything that's going on the walls, right? Like, it just kind of gives, it's not overwhelming, it's very mm-hmm. concise, but it can benefit everybody. You could even, for some older kids, you know, have it go home or share with some of those kids in high school, like, hey, or middle school.
Yeah.
Maybe Macy would benefit more if I communicated with her this way, or maybe this is why, you know, she's doing X, Y, or Z, that kind of thing. And then I think the next step is, and I'm excited, at the end of this month, I'll be in Dallas at an educator conference. NDSS is doing an adult track for part of our adult summit, and I'm on their school age track, and I'm going to get to speak to a group of educators about the guidelines. And so that's awesome. Really exciting. And then as I speak to more educators at educator conferences, hopefully I will get some more information on what they need from these that I can create, or resources or little webinars or things like that that will be beneficial to them to use, because I really don't want this tool to just be put out there and then not beneficial to the community or to educators as a whole.
Yeah. And I mean, it hasn't even been out for a year. So there's so much potential and growth there, which obviously you're doing it. While you're talking, I was thinking how, like, when you're talking about the principal sending it to all the teachers and putting it in staff lounge and stuff, just how cool it is that there's the resources that the downstream community has in a place like NDSS and these other large national organizations who have resources to do things like this, because it also is important for all other kids, right? Like, we know this. We know when we say to an educator or a school, if you shift things around for my student with Down syndrome, it's going to benefit everyone in the class, right? Like, it's going to benefit everybody. It's not just people with Down syndrome. And how even like seeing that email, like, oh, people with Down syndrome have a learning profile, here's some tips and tricks, that's a reminder that, oh, all kids, like, there's other kids who have learning profiles, and what gold that is. Like, how are kids with Down syndrome being in an educational setting is such an opportunity for the whole school. Like, it's gold, because our community comes with so much resources, like so many resources, so much history and studying and learning and research, and we bring it to the table, and not a lot of people get that. I was thinking about a woman I was talking to recently, and her daughter is dyslexic, and how, like, she needs staff who has that in mind, that, oh, wait a second, the way that we're doing this might not work for this student. How do we shift it? Let's keep that in mind for all of our kids. And when you have a kid with Down syndrome in your class, you have that constant reminder. Our kids are just gold.
Right. So well, good. And I feel like I'm a visual learner as well. Sure. Right? So if a teacher adds more visuals or more things like that, it would benefit me in the classroom in addition to my child with Down syndrome, right? Yeah. It's not, you know, you're really not just changing things for one student. And I think that's where that, like, mindset shift needs to happen. It's not just giving the tools, it's really shifting your perspective to say.
Totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah, and again, it's like, when educators can make that shift of, oh wait, it's not just, what you're saying, changing everything for one kid. Like, why would I do this for one kid? It's like, no, you actually have this opportunity with all of the research and the dollar signs that go behind that. We're bringing it to you. You know, and it's going to benefit all your kids. It's a good shift in perspective mm-hmm. that I encourage the educators listening to consider. If you aren't already, I think if you're listening to the podcast, you probably are.
Hopefully.
Okay. Do you have some like, here's my top tips for parents, my top tips for educators as we dig into the guidelines.
Yeah. I think for parents, one of the big things to keep in mind is that, you know, you are the expert on your child and you are an equal member of the IEP team. And I know a lot of times parents don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And it's easier said than done, right? But keeping those lines of communication open with the IEP team and really coming in from a place of collaboration, I think is key to being successful in school. And, you know, that's an ideal world, right? We know that not everyone has wonderful relationships with their IEP teams. However, I do think that going in with that collaborative mindset from the beginning of, you know, hey, I know this about Down syndrome and I have this resource. I want to share this with you. And I would encourage you to reach back out to me as a parent if you have questions, or I can refer you to NDSS, or I can refer you to someone else should you have more questions on the learning profile or how to best educate, you know, my student, or we're having this concern, or how would I modify this? I don't even know how to have a child with Down syndrome in, you know, a sixth grade math class, right? So things like that, but just really encouraging that collaborative spirit amongst families and their IEP team, and, you know, not to go in defensive, guns a-blazing kind of thing from the get-go, just really try and build that relationship. And I just find that when you go in thinking the best and that, you know, the team is going to presume competence of your child and all of that, that if you can work together, that you can get a lot farther.
That's been my experience. I would add to that too. I have found it successful to even say to an IEP team, like, to be real upfront about it. Like, let's do this together. We're on this together. I need you. You need me. And even saying to people, like, when Macy went into fourth grade into a general education classroom, the school had never done it before. And me saying, me neither. I've never done fourth grade before. Like, I don't know either. You don't know. I don't know. Let's figure it out. I think together we have it. I think, like, it's okay to admit that, you know, to admit, like, I've never done inclusion for my sixth grader in math either, but I think together we have the tools to make it work. Here's what I can bring to the table.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for educators, that, you know, idea of presuming competence, right? Yeah. Like, don't just look at a diagnosis on paper or look at a child and say, oh, well, they're never gonna, you know, they won't spend their day in here. They'll be down the hall, right? You know, a diagnosis does not dictate what an individual can accomplish, right? And so, you know, finding those solutions of adaptations, modifications that will benefit the class as a whole and not just, you know, the individual with Down syndrome, but also for teachers to reach out.
That's good.
For help. And I think it goes a step beyond teachers too, that the admin in the building, I think really you've got to have that support system too, to really be successful, because the teachers are one piece of it, but if they don't have the support, you know, from their administration and things like that, it does make it harder on them as a teacher to be able to get those resources or say, hey, I need this. So I think involving the admin as well, just to kind of share, like, hey, we're all going to work together, but this is what I think we should try, is really important as well.
Yeah, I love that. And again, like, I know for me as a parent, when admin or teachers say, I need help, I just appreciate that, instead of like going and trying to figure it out and problem solve on their own. And then you're like, wait a second, why is this not being implemented? And they're like, well, and trying to be defensive, like, no, just say you don't know, because let's figure it out together. Right. I appreciate that so much as a parent, when educators are willing to say, I don't know what
to
do.
When I get an email or a phone call from a teacher, the first thing I like respond in the email is like, I am so glad you reached out. But it's like, oh, I'm going to have somebody with Down syndrome in my class next year. I've never worked with a child with Down syndrome. Like, what can you tell me? You know? And that is amazing. Like, I love getting those calls and emails, right? Because
totally,
they want to learn and they want to do what's best for this student that's going to be entering their classroom, and they're seeking out resources and support to do their best. And it's a learning curve. We're all in this together.
Exactly.
And we don't all always know what we're doing.
And I think the best educators are lifelong learners, right? You've got to be a lifelong learner to be an incredible educator. It's so helpful. Is there anything else that you can think of that you want to share with our listeners about anything in all of life, but maybe specific to education?
One thing I think that is super exciting is a couple of weeks ago, well, in May, I guess, one of my colleagues, Charlotte Woodward, who was on your podcast for her organ transplant discrimination bill. And I'm not sure if she shared this then or not, probably, but, you know, she graduated from George Mason University with a bachelor's degree. She is like less than 10 people with Down syndrome in the US have received a bachelor's degree. Wow. And since graduating, she wanted to increase her hours with us and maybe shift into a different role. And so as of a few weeks ago, Charlotte is now the education program associate and is working directly with me to help create some resources. And she's speaking with me to educators about the importance of inclusion and her story, and really to not underestimate people with Down syndrome. She worked really hard to earn that bachelor's degree, and it's possible. And so we're just really proud of her. I'm super excited to have her on the education team now with me. She will still be doing all of her policy work with her bill, but she really has a passion for education and educating teachers and really helping self-advocates have a voice for themselves as they get older in the middle and high school years, and really wants to encourage them to start advocating for themselves early on in those IEP meetings and in the classroom. So that's really exciting.
That's so exciting. Your job just like went up 10 notches. Yeah. she's incredible.
And I've known Charlotte. Charlotte lives near me in Northern Virginia. And so I served on the board with her at our local DSA when Bradley was a baby. And so I've known Charlotte basically for 8 years since Bradley was born. And so this is like super exciting for me. That's so now like, she's working directly with me and her ideas and her energy is just awesome.
That's so cool. That, oh my gosh. Again, like talk about gold. What an incredible resource that is going to be for all parents and educators in the field. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. Okay. So for our listeners, where can they find out more information? Where do they get this beautiful document?
So you can find it on our website. If you just search education guidelines at ndss.org, it will pop up. You can also email me education@ndss.org, and I can always send the link. Or if you have other questions, I am always available. I'm happy to hop on a call or just email back and forth, whatever anybody might need. And we do have some hard copies, but since it's a living document, because we really want to make sure we have the most up-to-date research and resources and everything, online is probably the best place to find it with the most most recent versions. And then those smaller one pagers that will be coming will be in the same spot on the website.
Okay.
So search the education guidelines, it will all come up on the same page.
Okay. I've downloaded it. It's super easy to do. I think it is like 70 something pages.
Yeah,
But it just then is there on your computer. But and then if you go through, while the one pages don't exist yet, they will soon.
Yeah.
You can go through and pick out pages that
you can.
That mean that you can then give to your teachers that are more applicable to where you're at. Okay. That's amazing. We're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, do you have some good news you want to share about your son with Down syndrome? Okay. Thinking of it. Okay. I have a new children's book. It is called Everyone Belongs, and it is a story about two sisters who create a show, and other people wonder, can they be a part of the show? And together they create a show where, you guessed it, everyone belongs. So it is available right this very moment, and you can go anywhere you order books. If you're excited to bring into your kids' life a book that teaches them that, in fact, everyone belongs, and you want that book in your kids' classrooms and all the spaces, go ahead and order today. You can also go to heatheravis.com/everyonebelongs to learn more. The National Down Syndrome Society, NDSS, is the leading human rights organization for all individuals with Down syndrome. Founded in 1979, NDSS supports and advocates for the Down syndrome community by focusing on three key areas of programming: resources and support, policy and advocacy, and community engagement. Within these focus areas, NDSS engages on various activities, events, and programs on topics that are critical to our community, such as federal and state advocacy and public policy, health and wellness education, and employment. NDSS creates resources to support individuals with Down syndrome, their families, and caregivers across the lifespan, and hosts awareness and engagement events throughout the country, including the National Buddy Walk Program, the Times Square video presentation, and New York City Buddy Walk, Racing for 321 on World Down Syndrome Day, Run for 321, DC Golf Outing, the annual NDSS Gala and Auction, and others. The New York City Buddy Walk is the flagship walk for the National Buddy Walk Program, and it is quickly approaching on September 17th. The Buddy Walk was established in 1995 by the National Down Syndrome Society to celebrate Down Syndrome awareness. More than 130 walks were held in 2021. You don't want to miss this one this year. Register for a walk today at www.ndss.org.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we are back. I am here with Jess from NDSS, and we are going to share some good news about our loved one with Down syndrome. Jess, what do you have to share about your son?
So about a year and a half ago, Bradley started Taekwondo. And he really has grown to love it and has worked so hard. It's amazing to watch. And he is working on his next color belt. And he is one of two students with Down syndrome at their dojo. And he's just been so welcomed and gets so encouraged. And next week, we are hoping that he will earn his next color belt.
Yes, this is so good. I've heard Taekwondo is so great just in general. And then I've heard a lot of people who have kids with Down syndrome, like that people with Down syndrome love it. And I've had it in mind for August. So this reminds me to put it back on my, this is in my head again to reach out. That's so exciting. I have some good news from a listener as well. This is from My Extraordinary Life, who says, Micah decided he wanted to ride a big kid ride. He doesn't like rides and he doesn't like to do new things. So when he asked to ride the fast ride on his own, I said, okay. Folks, he did it. He loved it. And I'm so happy for him. He was brave, a simple thing for most, but it's good news over here in Northern California. I love that. That is such good news. Micah, good job. Good job writing the quote, big kid, fast ride. Such good news. Friends, if you have good news, you can share it with us over at the Lucky Few pod on Instagram. Send it through a DM or you can email hello at luckyfewpodcast.com. We love to hear from you. Okay. Thank you so much. Jess, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks
you have been
me.
So helpful, so informative. Thank you on behalf of myself and all of the parents and educators in the United States for the work that you're doing. It really means so much to all of us. And I know it's just beginning. So that's exciting too. And we appreciate your time and everything that you mentioned. Listeners will have links to all of that in our show notes.
Wonderful.
All right. We have to wrap up this episode now. Thanks Josh Davis for editing the episode and Val Schleter for producing it. If you like the episode, share it with family and friends. Maybe send this one along to your principal, to your teacher, maybe even the superintendent of schools. Don't forget to subscribe to the episode and check out theluckyfewpodcast.com for all of show notes and all the things we talked about today. Be sure to follow along on social media at The Lucky Few Pod. Send us your good news. And listener, you are slaying it. You're slaying it during this back to school season. We love you so much. We are here cheering you on always. Can't wait to be together on another episode next week. Bye.